you sit up for us? Thank you. Now is the time to worship. office of a prayer partner. Receive this morning's tithe and offering. So I want you to go ahead and get ready for that. We've got offering envelopes if you're giving by cash. Anybody? Praise God. Oh. Anybody? All right. Thank you, Father. Sunday is all about God. It's all about worshiping God. Obviously, our lives should be a living sacrifice of worship. We should worship God every day. We should pray without ceasing, but there's something special about Sunday, and that is that it's set apart. It's sanctified. We don't touch it. It's just like a tithe. You don't touch it. You don't mess with it. It just belongs to God. And so we treat Sunday that way. It's the first day of the week right off the top. We give it to God. Amen. Whatever He wants to do, that's just a special day. And I appreciate that we can do that together once a week and bless God. And in this time of giving, we should have that attitude that we're giving God the best right off the top. It's first priority. Amen. Amen. It's the first thing. The first fruits, the first thing that comes in, the best, the top, those are all definitions for that word first fruits. It's the cream of the crop. It's the best, the first that we have to offer. And so we do that financially, and we do that with our time, the first day of the week. And we honor God with that. Why? Because God requires it, number one. Number two, because when you do that, you will be blessed. And your life is different when you come to church on Sunday and you give that day to God and when you give that tithe to God. Amen. So, if you've got your seed ready, I want you to stand with me. And have that in mind. It's an area that we honor God. It's sacred. It's sanctified. It's set apart. You don't touch it. You can touch the other stuff, but you don't even mess with it. Amen? It's holy. It's separate. That's what that means. So I want you to understand that today, that we are actually kind of the way tithing twice at once. We're tithing our time and of our money so that we'll be blessed in both areas. If you've got your seed, I want you to lift it up to God and worship Him with it and just praise Him and thank Him. Lord, we honor You today. We thank You, Father, that we can come and worship You. Lord, I thank You for Your Holy Spirit that's in this place. Lord, empowering us to serve You, empowering us to receive from You, empowering us to be a witness the rest of the week out in the world to those that we encounter, Father. I thank You for Your life-changing power that's here today, Lord, to change our lives in every way. I thank You for Your power to change finances. Lord, I thank You that You're changing situations right now. For those that have stepped out to honor You, You're turning those situations around. We thank You, Father, and we receive every answer by faith right now. And we know that it's already done, and we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you can bring your tithes. Amen.
Praise the Lord. How many of y'all are still excited about Jesus? Amen. Huh?
Amen.
Praise God. I got some different stuff for you today. Isn't that different? Praise the Lord, but it's all good. I want you to open your Bible to Psalm chapter 92, verse 14. Especially at our church, you know, when we really don't have a lot of this, it was strange that I was led to go into this direction. But we're going to go there. And I was just praying on some of it on my way in the church and figured out maybe what the Lord might be up to. Psalm chapter 92, verse 14. It says this. Praise God. And when I got that verse, I didn't read the verse in front of that. So I'm going to read it all together, and then I know that we're on. Amen? Go to verse 13. Those that be planted, someone say, those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Now, notice what the Lord's been speaking to us. It says, those that are planted where? In the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God. And basically, one of the blessings that I want to talk to us about this morning. Now, this is making it real clear who this is for. So say it's for those that are planted in the house of the Lord. It says, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. That's a promise, isn't it? They shall be fat and flourishing. Somebody say, bringing forth fruit even in old age. There are a lot of us thinking, like, my time is past.
I've blown my life. You know, it's for the young people. It's for people that can really, you know, have a chance to do something. I'm settling in right now. Where I'm at right now is where I'm going to end up. And nothing's really going to change. But say, they will still be bringing forth in old age. I want everybody to think about that real quick, that we are not to grow old, tired, and worn out, say it's all over, this is where I end up. No, God can bless you and use you and cause you to bring forth good things even when you get old. And I want to talk today about age. Everybody say age. Because God wants to use us, and He wants us to take advantage, amen, of all of the seasons and every day He gives us. There's one scripture I like, and it says that one day, as to the Lord, one day is what? As of what? As of 1,000 years. What does that mean? Does anybody think about that? Meditate on that. For one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. Think about that. Does that mean that, you know, the time, what it would take us 1,000 years for us, the Lord considers to be one day? Is that what that might mean? We assume that that's what it means, right? We would guess that that's one of the meanings of that scripture, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. That means, what, you know, that probably when He created the heavens and the earth and the first day He made man, that maybe it took Him what? 1,000 years in that one day. Some people think that. That one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. I think it's like this. You know, the Bible teaches us to, you know, to take every appointment and every season seriously, to make the most of every opportunity. The Bible teaches that. So many of us, we waste away, we blow our life away, we blow our seasons away, we allow the devil to get us distracted. Think about this. Imagine if that scripture, that one of the, another way that you can look at that scripture, now we know that that could be true in that sense, I'm not saying that's not true, is that the Lord would consider one of your days the value of 1,000 years. Y'all are real quiet. That one day when we're in, I tell you what, one day that we're in the Word, that we're in sync with God, that we're listening to the Holy Spirit, that we're walking where He wants us to walk, that He's in our life, He could use that day. He can get more accomplished in that day than someone that's out of sync, out of will, out of mind, can get accomplished in 1,000 years. Say, God considers today as important as 1,000 years. Think of all the things that have happened in the last 3 days, according, you know, in the last 3,000 years. That's a lot of stuff, isn't it? That's a lot of stuff. But the Lord can do more. Amen. He's focusing on today as He would 1,000 years. And people, we're so quick to throw away our days, not thinking that, look, nothing good's going to happen. This is a bad day. Anybody had those days where you think, nothing's going to happen today. This is just a bad, this is a wasted day. This is a wasted Sunday. This is a wasted week. You know what? I don't have this together. I don't have that together. And the day that you're thinking about throwing away and just tread, oh, I'm just going to check out today. I'm upset today, so I'm just going to check out. I'm not going to live it. I'm not going to do anything in it. I'm going to waste it because it's not going the way that I want it to go. That day that you're so quick to throw away, the Lord would consider it like 1,000 years. So I say, praise the Lord. So our days are important. Our days are important. And one of the things that I was thinking about when I was putting this together, you know what? We got to get busy about the will of God in our life because, you know, we will live together, but the things that we can do here on earth, we can't do that forever. We can only do it while we're alive. Amen? And God wants us to consider some things. Now, there are two things I want you to be thinking about this morning. You can just judge where you're at. Whether you're a young person or an old person, I want you to think about this, that God, there are certain things that you are to accomplish while you can get those things accomplished so that when you're old, you'll still be able to do the things that God wants you to do by faith. Look at Brother Hagin, 80-some years old. And I tell you what, he is just stepping into half of the stuff that God has for him or to his true calling at 80-some years old. Why? Because he's prepared himself along the years that he's able to keep rolling. So say, old people can do great things. And God used old people to do extraordinary things. Old people can bring forth God things. I was just looking at age right there. Now check about this old person. Look how God didn't use a lot of the young people and stuff like that, but he used old people to do godly, great things. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 36. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her what? Old age. Isn't that awesome? That he, I'm sure there were lots of young girls all around that God could have used to bring forth something that might appear to be healthier, a little bit younger. Everybody's thinking, well, I can't do anything now. But he let this woman bring forth John the Baptist when? When she was old. Some say old people will bring forth fruit. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. And there's some people that you're starting to check out, starting to roll it up and say, I've done everything I've got to do, and starting to pack up and do all this other stuff. I got a word from the Holy Ghost for you today. You'll still be bringing forth fruit in old age. God's not finished with you yet. God's plan, he is not done with you yet. Don't say it's for the young people, it's for the ones that are coming up. God's got a plan for them, but he's also got a plan for you. Say, I'm going to bring forth in old age. Check out this other. Go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. How many are getting excited a little bit? How many are just hitting you where you are? I've been starting to quote some of that stuff. Man, I used to have a little bit more, and I'm only 37 years old, and I was starting to confess old, and I'm getting old now. I can't be hanging. I'm starting to confess that stuff, and the Holy Ghost says, oh no, you'll still be bringing forth in old age. Old people bring forth. Those that aren't bringing forth anything and waiting to die don't have the Word of God on the inside of them. They're wasting the days. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Instead of thinking about waiting to check out, you need to be thinking about, what does God want to bring forth in my life? If I'm still alive, God still wants to bring forth something in me. He's not just waiting for me to knock off. There are a lot of old people just waiting to die. Isn't that ridiculous? Isn't that stupid? He said, you'll still be bringing forth in old age. And don't you know that certain things, when old people get so old and they lose purpose, they lose vision, they lose significance, and they die. As soon as they retire, some of them die quicker, but as long as they keep active and keep working, they get to live longer. Why? Because it's the purpose of God that they'd be bringing forth. So better say, praise the Lord. Through faith, Sarah also conceived strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child. When did she get this child? When? In her old age. Somebody say, old people, bring forth. Remember Anna? When did she bring forth that son? At a ripe age. Say, I'm still going to bring forth something. I'm not too old. God still wants to use me. He's not finished with me. And a lot of us are ready to check out when God says, no, not yet. So that's one of the things I want to say to those that are considering themselves to be way past the years of accomplishing something new. Amen. Getting a new mindset, getting a new mentality. Amen. That God says, you could, now, if this old woman can spit out a child, amen, when she's well past age, I think she's in her 90s. If she can do that, you still can bring forth too. So somebody say, age. Because one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. God sees potential in the days that we live. God sees potential in the days that we live. And there's still hope. Now I want to talk to most of everybody in here today, this morning. You're somewhat young. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Glory to God. And I just sensed the Holy Spirit even on that as I was meditating. I said, Lord, why are we going here with old? We don't have old people in our church. And we don't have any really young people in our church either. why are you speaking this thing? We don't have old people and we don't have young people. Then I started to get the revelation of it. Yeah, it's true. There are certain people, amen, that need to wake up and realize that God still wants to do something for them. Some of you think you're too old for a future. You're too old for a career. You're too old for a new type of life. Anybody felt that way God was leading you to do something? Say, well, man, that's 8 years of school or 4 years of school. I could never handle it. I'm just too old to kick in something. Mm-hmm. Say, you're never too old,
never too old
to do what God wants you to do. Now, I tell you what, now, when Sarah and Elizabeth, or Sarai and Elizabeth, those old chicks and old women, and even Abraham, the last thing they ever thought that God would ever use them to do is do what they did, isn't it? Do you think her contribution to life, she thought my contribution to the world would be helping somebody else or doing it? She would never thought that her contribution to mankind were to bring forth something when she was well past the age to do it. Is it possible that your contribution to mankind, your contribution to humanity, your contribution to the body of Christ, amen, may be something that you might conceive way out of reach because you're too old to obtain it or too old to do it? You've missed your chance. You're not. Someone say, that's how he brings about God's things. Now, the other thing I want you to catch, and that's for the old people, that you're not to get too old. But this is one of the things that was also very important. Go to Psalm chapter 103, verse 5. Some say, young.
Young.
Say it again, young.
Young.
How do you get to the point to where when you're old, you're bringing forth instead of waiting to die? How do you get to the point that when you're still old, you got that youthful mentality that where you're still bringing forth the things of God instead of just waiting to quit? Psalm chapter 103, verse 5. Who satisfies your mouth with good things, that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Some say you can talk youthful to yourself. By putting youthful words in your mouth, or young or the right things in your mouth, I feel good today. I still have hope. I still got a future. There's still purpose for me. So say you can talk the years off. You can lift. People can go to the doctor and get a facelift medically, amen. But you can get an inward, amen, renewing. I mean, you can reverse the years just by the way you think and by the confession of your mouth. I met some old people that have got a younger mentality than half the 50 or 40-year-olds I know. I was hanging with a woman that was like 75 years old. AJ was old, up there. But you would not tell this woman was that old. You know why? Because her confession. He filled her mouth with good things. And she said the right things. And as she said those things and confessed those things, you know what? Her youth was renewed. So God, your confession has a lot to do with it. Now you young, the young that are here this morning, I know this is kind of different. God wants to get this across to you. God wants to get this across to you. You know there are blessings and there are curses. And that there's a blessing to walking with God in your younger years. There's a blessing to hearing the will of God. You know, it's a blessing when your parents tell you about Jesus. How many of you had a parent that didn't give you a whole lot? The only thing they gave you was the Lord. The only thing they couldn't afford a bunch of stuff, but the only thing they gave you maybe been a prayer, maybe been some faith. They gave you Jesus, or they gave you the Word. Boy, studying this thing, I went through my Bible with my computer and studied age. Just age, and I studied youth. I studied youth. And one of the things that kept coming up again and again, more than anything that was in reference to youth, you can do that study yourself, was first of all that they stayed with the Word all the days of their youth. That they did not go off with the wicked, but they stayed with the plan of God throughout their youth. Notice there were two sons, and one son did the right thing before God and gave the right kind of offering, and the second son, remember the other son, that gave God not what God required, but what he felt like giving, and God did not accept him, and God said he was evil even from his youth. Evil from his youth. Now we understand evil and wickedness mean they stray from the plan or the word that God's placed over their life so that they're able to offer God the right offering. There's a blessing in old age for people that stick with God's word throughout their youth. That is a blessing to have. I tell you what, I thank God that even through, some of you might not have been super religious, but deep down inside, you knew there was a God. You knew there was something, and you knew something, and you stuck with it. Your youthful years that you spent focusing on Jesus and sticking with God. You could have gotten off to cults and all this other weird stuff. You could have turned into an atheist like some of the other unbelievers. You could have missed it and been clubbing and messing around and never come back. But somebody put something in you in your youth that held you there. And I tell you what, that is valuable. That you stick with God all the days of your youth. You get an extra edge than the person that didn't get it. That's why it's kind of sad. The Bible says, train up a child in the way it should go. And when it's old, guess what? It won't depart from it. We have to value, amen, people that are sowing the word to young hearts. The Holy Ghost that was leading me to something. I said, why are we talking about young people and hearing the word of God? Why are we getting into all this? We don't have any. Holy Ghost said, don't you know what you got to do? He said, if you figure out and give the young people the word of God, you can change a nation. You know what? We might not. It's hard. They even prove statistically that it's very difficult to get an old person saved, even knowing they got to punch the clock in about 2 to 3 years, knowing they're about to check out. It's hard to get them to follow Jesus. And I know what I'm talking about. I had one aunt that was unsaved all the days of her life. My mother tried as hard as she could, almost to the point of torture. That old lady, I mean, the only reason why she stayed there because she had broken a hip and couldn't get out of the bed. So my mom thought she could save this woman in her old age. I don't know, you know. So this lady, I mean, she's old, with paint, still red fingernails, all shriveled up and all messed up. But she had red fingernails and red toenails in her 80s. And my mom thought that she could get this woman saved by putting on the TV. And having PTL and all these different stations rolling, all loud for the poor woman. And I'd come home from school, and my mom would be down there, and the TV would just be blaring. I'd hear this woman that never knew the things of God, didn't have a taste for the God, just pleading, please somebody come up here. Somebody please come up here and get these screaming rednecks off my TV. Please somebody come up here, please. It's hard to get an old person saved. No, come get these screaming hillbillies off my TV. Because it's hard to get an old person saved. It's proven statistically. The devil likes to get things when it's young. Isn't it amazing that when the children of Israel went through the wilderness, all them old people did what? Died. Amen. But the new generation was able to cross over. Think. Do you think it's possible that God could say people can get so stuck in their way and so strong that they'll never change? But talk to the young people. Talk to the young ones that still want to get the word. That's why your ministry is so important. Because maybe the mom and daddy will never get it together. Maybe they'll never see the light. But why allow a nation to go to hell because the parents are so stuck in tradition and all this other mess? If you can tell a child, it won't depart. Amen. When God starts saying, speak to the children, how many times have people allow children to escape out of negative family environments because somebody said, listen, I'm going to talk to this child, Salvation Army, a different organization, the Baptist Church for years. We have Sunday school programs and different things. And we didn't think those things were important. But think about it. Giving children the word of God in their youth makes a big difference. We're not just playing patty cake with them and teach them to do this. You're trying to preserve a nation. Am I making sense to you this morning? Train up a child in the way it should go. When it's old, it won't depart. Say, we have a responsibility to teach the word and give it to young people. Then we start thinking about, oh, we got to get the whole family. Yeah, you can try to get the whole family. You got to get what God can give you. If you can't get it in the corporate office, go to the soccer field. Go to Starbucks and find some teenager that doesn't have a way and give them the word. And look what happens when you give young people the word. They hold on to it. Amen. I got saved before my mama. Got filled with the Holy Ghost before my mama. My mama was a prayer warrior and all this other stuff. We were born up in the Methodist church and different things like that, but the ways of the Spirit, I had to get it for myself. Why? Because someone else stepped in and gave me the word of God. And it worked. And they won't depart. What do you think this one's sitting here for? She ain't old yet. He's not old yet. They got up under the word of God at a young age. And they're holding on to it. We ought to visualize young people on fire with the word of God and the Holy Ghost. Sticking to it because they believe in it. Not sticking to it because they can ride on a van someplace or play basketball or soccer. Thank God for basketball or soccer, but they need to be turned on to the word of God. Because if we get them broken in on a whole bunch of other stuff, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with other stuff, you know what? Somebody else is always going to have a bigger soccer field. Somebody else is always going to have a bigger click. So we have to turn them on to the word of God. Notice this, that Jesus said, listen, what you give a child or you give a young man or a young person in their younger years, it will definitely affect how they walk in the future. And what they bring forth in a future. That's scary. That is scary. That I'm saying that right now, that those that get the word young have a better chance of making it spiritually than those that never got it or never were taught properly. And will probably go to hell as a consequence of it. That's a generational curse. Check out this, Matthew chapter 19, verse 14. Isn't this some good teaching this morning?
Amen.
You're about to get an anointing on you to reach people.
Amen.
To where you can focus. God will tell you where the fish are. And that's what I feel the heat of the Holy Ghost this morning. We're about ready to get out of here.
Amen.
But you know what? When they were out there fishing and they couldn't catch any fish, Jesus said, throw your net out on the other side of the boat. And when they did it, somebody say hallelujah,
hallelujah,
they caught some fish. Look at somebody and say, God's trying to tell you where the fish are. Hallelujah. Are you catching it? Say, we're learning how to fish in the woodlands. I prophesy and I speak it right now. Our fish in the woodlands are the young. Somebody say, praise God. Our fish in the woodlands are the young. And I tell you what, and only giving the word to the young is going to deliver that city. Are you hearing me? And it's the young that are going to make it out. It's the young that will make it out. That old generation. I'm not speaking negative. You hear what I'm saying? Some of you are going to make it out ones and twos and different things like that. But the thing that God wants to do and the revelation that he wants to give and the spirit that he wants to pour out, that generation, pre-generation, is not going to have it. They'll come out small, but that whole generation, they're not going to catch it. And I say it right now, not one church is rolling in it right now is going to have it. Why? Disobedience, rebellion, all that other stuff there. They're going to die in the wilderness. I know that's scary, and you, listen to me. For the lack of obedience to the things of God and following the Holy Spirit, but God is going to do something with the young people. The young people will have a change of mind, change of attitude, change of spirit. And they're going to do the thing that God desires them to do. Because other people want to go back. Listen to that mentality. If you hear the heartbeat of people, they don't want to be progressive. We go from glory to glory. God's been speaking that to me, that we're to go from glory to glory. It's never God's will for us to... Whenever you hear somebody say, we need to get back. No, we don't. He never said that. We need to go from glory to glory. We need to be going forward. Don't ever get off in any ministry and say, look, we're taking you on back to old time Pentecost. Thank God for it. No, you better go forward with God. We go from glory to glory. And there's a mindset right now of people trying to return to something. Nope. Never God. Never God. It's always before us. Catch it. Here's a young person that messed up in Matthew chapter 19, verse 14. But Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Say, God can work with young people. And he laid his hands on them and departed hence. And behold, one came and said unto him. Now check that out. Now somebody think the rich young man or whatever. Everybody say the rich young ruler. They call it the rich young ruler. But notice where this rich young ruler was coming out of. How old was this ruler? The young man came out of what? The crowd of kids. Are you seeing what I'm seeing? And behold, one, some say one, came out and said, came out of where? What verse is this whole thing coming out of? Some say this was, why'd they keep saying rich young ruler or young man? We don't know how young this ruler was. Maybe 12, 13. We have no understanding how, but we know the person was young, and we understand it had to be pretty young because the lifespan then was kind of short, wasn't it? So here comes a young person. And he laid his hand and he said, behold, one came and said unto him, Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said, good, Master. And Jesus said, well, why call me good? There's none good in heaven but you know, whatever. And go to verse 18. And he saith unto him, which there are good, but God, but if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Everybody say, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, which? So here's this young ruler saying, which commandment do I have to keep? So he had some understanding, right, of the commandments, right? He said, which one do I have to keep? So here Jesus is ministering to this guy or basing his whole ministry to this guy at this point at what he had got at earlier years. Do you see that? He didn't do a teaching lesson. He was basing where he treated him on what he already knew. He said, which ones? And Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, he's still talking, right? Where is Jesus taking him to? The ten what? Where is he taking him to? The Ten Commandments. Then the young man said, all of these I have kept from my youth up. So I've kept all of this. I've walked in all of these from my what? Youth. My pattern of life. My lifestyle. My lifestyle, I've had all of these things in my lifestyle from my youth up to where I'm at right now. I've done all of these things. And the young man said, all of these things I've kept from my youth. What yet I lack? And he said unto him, if ye be perfect, go and sell that which thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And then the young man got all sad and depressed and all this other stuff. Verily I say unto you that this rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because this young rich ruler had not a revelation of really the thing that he was walking out all of his life. What's the first part of that thing? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He was missing that out of his foundation, wasn't he? So when Jesus said, drop everything and follow me, he was God. And he said, look, honor me and love me and obey me. And because that young rich ruler did not have that in his foundation and was walking into it, he couldn't handle it. Say, foundations are extremely important. As I was ministering this thing and praying over it and working over it, I was thinking about you as a young man, hearing all this word and doing all this, you know, and getting all this on the inside, and we don't really see a lot. All we know is we're putting in a lot. We don't really see a lot later. Say, these youthful years of putting the word on the inside of you and getting you on the right track, it's so important, make a big difference. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 22. One day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, even those youthful years. Makes you think about today a little bit better. That's why the Bible tells us, listen, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This day that God sees potential in. Let no man despise thy youth, including yourself. We don't want to waste these times. But be an example of the believers in word. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9. You're about ready to get out of here, but I'm trying to give you this word, to where if I can put this on you, you'll be able to walk in it and do it. And I expect a couple things to happen. One, two ways you can fix this and act on this right away. First of all, you can realize that every day is important with God, and God wants to do something in it. Two, you can realize that, first of all, that it's extremely important for you to get the word and make it a pattern in your life as a young person. Three, see the value of young people. Amen. And that God wants to do something with them. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart. That is so important. A lot of people don't teach their children. They raise heartless children. Heartless. And that's so popular today. Heartless children. I can remember my mother raised me. At least she raised me with a heart. You see something wrong, you want to do something about it. Hey, be nice. I can remember as a child, I was a trip. I would poke fun at people and do stupid stuff as every child did and stuff like that. But I can remember I would see kids in my school that wouldn't have a lunch and share my lunch. Amen. Because I was raised to follow my heart. Or to share. Something would click on the inside of me. Were you raised with a heart? Are you raising your children with a heart that they can respond to do right when they see right? A lot of children are going to fall off the side and never do what God wants them to do because they're raised with no heart whatsoever. Heartless, uncompassionate, uncaring, selfish. Little devils. Sickening. There were some characteristics of children that you used to see. You don't see it no more. That's how they can kill each other. You look at the news today. Kids are killing each other. High treason and murder and all these other things. They raise them with absolutely no heart. Walk in the ways of thy heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that all these things God will bring into judgment. Young people are going to be judged by what they have on their heart in younger years. The way that the kids walk and what they stay in is what you'll be judged in the future.
Somebody say hallelujah. Go to Titus chapter 2, verse 2. Say the word. We need to raise up our children to be children of the word. And we wonder why the devil gets a hold of young people and we can't do anything with them. When they turn 15, 16, little devils can't get a job, can't get into school, can't get anything. Amen. Because we didn't put the word of God on the inside of them. So say, give them the word. Titus chapter 2. And we don't want to be feeling under condemnation about all this other stuff, but our grandkids, our neighbors' kids around the church. Amen. While there's chance to speak to them, make sure you give them the word. Somebody say hallelujah. Give them the word. That aged man be sober, grave, temperate, and sound in faith, in charity, in patience. And that aged women likewise be in the behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach, someone say, teach young women to be sober, to love their husbands and to love their children. Don't you know that's in the Bible? We used to have church mothers. You got all these young girls coming here just as dizzy and dancy. Don't know anything, but don't you know it's in the Bible for you older women to teach these younger people how to handle kids? Come on. When they start thinking stupid, come on. How many of you know some stupid thinkers? Just want to rattle their brains sometimes. Just think dumb. Don't you think you need a job to pay for something? The baby going to need some shoes in September to get to school? I wouldn't wait until 2 weeks before school starts, amen, to start thinking about, hey, I might need some socks. You know, are they thinking about the man next door, the man down the street? No, that's not sober thinking. You need to get your thoughts off the man, amen, and get your thoughts on what you got to do what you have to do for the future. And it's the church's responsibility and the women in the church, amen, to get up there, not to beat them up and to mess them up for the way they think, amen, but to teach them what to think. Why don't you get your mind over here? Don't even think about this one, honey. Don't think about him. Don't even give him another thought, amen. He's not going to take care of you. He's not going to do anything for you. Why don't you think about getting somebody like this? Somebody say sober thinking. A lot of women don't think sober, or young girls don't think sober, because all they're thinking about is sex, what the man looks like. Come on. And they're not thinking straight because they're in overtaken with lust and drunken in lust, and so their thinking is distorted. I mean, they could beat them up through the night and give them black eyes, amen, steal from them, do all that mess, and they're going to keep going right back because they're not thinking straight because they're not sober. You have to teach them to think soberly. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. To love their husbands and to love their children. I guess it could go, we know that Paul, you know, he had a thing about women. Amen. He was a little bit rough on the women. Amen. And let the men go by every now and then. But that is so important right now. To be discreet, chaste, keepers of the home, good, obedient to their husbands, and to love the word of God and not to be blaspheming. Young men, likewise, some say likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. See, we don't even think that it's a responsibility of the church. We just think we want to tell them how to get to heaven. Get to Jesus, love Jesus, love to Jesus. And they come in here thinking all stupid, thinking dumb. We have to instruct them how to be sober-minded. Which you won't be. I won't be this. Somebody say, think soberly. It's the responsibility of the church to cause those that are inside the church and young people to have some sober thoughts. I see teenagers, it's so sad. No talent.
But yet they're going to rock the world with something that's just so unstable. Never going to obtain it. They're going to waste their lives. That day that it's of 1,000 years, they're sitting there wasting their life because nobody got a hold of them and caused them to think soberly. We can allow things in culture to come into the church, cultural things that happen. Kids get off in these little things where all the kids start wearing their pants down. And that pants down, you know, they get into the rap culture. And the rap culture just gets there and tells them all of this mess. Somebody say, it's a lie from the pit of hell. Talking about shooting people, killing people, not respecting this, not respecting that. And they hear so much of it and hear so much of it to where their whole mentality's warped. We don't talk to them. We just give them a tape player or give them a radio. We refuse to give them the word of God, but we're going to allow who is out there talking to them right now. R. Kelly, who else is? Come on, give me some of these other people that are talking to the young people today. Snoop Dogg and all these other ones are talking to the kids and giving them what they need to know. And then we wonder why their thinking is totally screwed up. And then we come here, we tell them about Noah's Ark and all this other stuff. Some say we have a responsibility to sober their thinking. If they're drunken in a rap culture, if they're drunken in a, the other skateboard culture, they can get just as screwed up in that as well. There's several cultures that young people can get into. The internet. There's a little computer culture out there, you know, computer geek. Man, they get into some weird stuff. Shooting people, killing people, blowing them up, you know, amen, blowing the vampire up, blowing the teacher up, driving through town. I mean, it can become a whole culture to where their whole mind gets screwed up. We wonder why we got so many screwed up kids. And they come to church, as long as they can sing the song, they're okay. We all know they messed up. I've seen whole youth groups where they never really got the kids to be sober-minded. As long as they piled them in there, they were okay. All weird, dressing. There was one whole church. They all needed to have their heads examined. Instead of them getting their minds to be sober, they joined on in with them. I'm going to tattoo my neck. I'm going to wear vampire garth stuff too. Started a garth church. A goth church. A gothic church. The whole church was gothic. Amen. Instead of sitting up there, taking the church, amen, and waking them up and saying, take that crap off. And you better start to think straight. Somebody say hallelujah. When I got into this thing, now I tell you we're not supposed to go back, but I came to the Kojic way. Amen. They told you what to take off. Amen. You better think right. Somebody said, you better change your thinking. We're not going to work through that thinking. No, you got to give it to me. No, you have to change your thinking. Stop thinking. Everybody say, stop thinking like that. Renew the minds. Amen. Don't give any heed to it. Say, that's stupid thinking. That we need to train likewise, exhort them to be sober-minded. That means clear-minded, not drunken with culture or what they got in school. How many know some people need to have some sober minds? Need to put them on detox. You know how you send people to get caught up in drugs and stuff like that? They go someplace and let them dry out. Well, there's some people need to dry out from their friends. Amen. There's some people need to dry out from cultures. Pull themselves away and separate for a season. That's what fasting does. It dries you out from things that you're overwhelmed with. To be sober-minded. Somebody say hallelujah. 1 John chapter 2. See, these are things that we need to teach the children how to overcome in mentality as they're young and how to stick to the word. I live sanctified. You know, I did backslide my senior year for a year. I didn't do all that much bad. Amen. But when I was in high school, when I was in elementary school, junior high, all throughout high school to that senior year, I walked a life of what we believe to be sanctification. And it didn't hurt me. It wasn't hard. Somebody say hallelujah. 1 John chapter 2. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him from that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, somebody say young man, because you have overcome the wicked one. And I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. How do we overcome the wicked one? With the word. They overcame him with the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And we need to teach that to children, that wickedness is trying to get them to go off in the wrong way, and every time that wrong way comes to them, that they need to overcome it. Overcome evil with good. Amen. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stick with it. And if we teach them how to overcome at young ages, amen, they'll be okay. You have overcome. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him from the beginning. I've written to the young men because you are strong. So say you are strong, and the word of God abides in you. If the word of God will abide in them, how many times have you seen the young people taken captive? We need to start to give these young people the word of God when they're young. So when the wicked one comes to take them out and do all these things, amen, he is not going to be successful in doing that, amen, and you have overcome the wicked one. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Why don't you stand up right where you are? Hallelujah. Say the word. Say the word. Say it one more time, the word. Glory to God. The young and the old have a plan with God. God wants to use everything. He's the God that fills all in all. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's the God that fills all in all. And we just think he wants to use the smart ones, you know. God, what God wants to do here in this place or in this ministry, this town, is he wants to use the young, but he also wants to use the old. That God wants to use everybody. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And I didn't want to say this, amen, but I am going to say it because it popped up and I keep hearing it over and over again. Say God has a purpose.
God has a purpose.
Amen. John chapter 12 verse 14. And Jesus says, and Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon as it is written. Somebody say hallelujah. When Jesus had found that young ass, he sat thereon as it is written. Somebody say hallelujah. Let him find something young to put his spirit on, his anointing on, and his grace on, that he can ride forth and do the things that he wants to do. Hallelujah. Just start to pray in the Holy Spirit right where you are. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Say, Father, we thank you right now for the young. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We deliver the seed right now from the hand of the enemy in Jesus' name. We grab a hold of the future. Thank you, Father. And we put forth the word of God. We get the word out there in Jesus' name. We call for it to take root, bring about revival in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that you're empowering every individual that's trying to slack up a little bit because they feel they're too old to do things, that you're renewing their youth even now. Even now. To be all that you want them to be so that they can do all that you want them to do. Lord, we pray for this church. We thank you that your spirit is here. We thank you that your grace is here, that your anointing is here, that your love is here, and your power is here. And Lord, we thank you that we hear your voice and we obey. And that you empower us as we obey to fulfill your voice and your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now y'all come back here tonight at 7 o'clock. Amen. Put on some good music. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. That this week, look for that open opportunity. You find a young person, plant a seed of the word of God. Plant a seed of the word of God. Plant a seed of the word of God on the inside of them and watch what happens. There's a grace on that. Amen?
Amen.
Find a young person and tell them, you're moving into that place. Find a young person. Let them see that you love Jesus. Amen? And watch what happens. Praise the Lord.